interviews with haunting gurus.
I am imbibing with the haunting sage of the South, the ringmaster of the Carnival of Screams, John Cowan.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
What's going on, Johnny?
I am good. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I love when people are always so humble. So humble like yourself. You're like, I don't know if I would consider myself to be a guru. I'm like, you know, dude, you know, I look around at a lot of haunts, and like I say, I'm passing judgment on everyone, but... You know, when I see haunts that really catch my eye, that's when I was like, I use guru in a very, fun sense. It rhymes. Interviews with haunting gurus. It's a little play on words there, a little rhyming thing, you know, convention. That's all it is.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, because I've listened to this show obviously for many, many years, and you know,
okay, hold on. So how long have you been a listener? When did you
season one. Okay. I picked it up a couple of episodes into season one, and I've been listening ever since.
So you've had this mental deficiency for quite some time
It's been going for quite some time it's gotten better and better and better. And
to my man of the hour, John Cowan, Carnival of Screams, you're located where, in what town?
I'm in Daphne, Alabama, which is across the Mobile Bay from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
So we're in the deep South here, right in the middle of the Bible Belt.
You don't actually get any blowback or anything from any of those, do you?
Yes, every year without fail, it's calmed down because it's become really it's gotten so big now that it kind of muffles out. But for years, I almost always get at least one hate letter that I'm going to hell. I've actually had people on Halloween night come up and brag. The best story ever, which is short, guy came up and shook my hand and said, you know, I understand you're the proprietor and you built a lot of this stuff. And I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, this is awesome work. You have great talent. And I'm like, well, thank you. You know, thanks for coming out. And with a warm smile and a warm embrace of my hand, he goes, you know, you're going to burn in hell. And he was dead serious. And, you know, how do you respond to that? So, you know, I said, well, thank you for coming out and have a happy Halloween. And, you know, he walked off. But, I mean, those are the exceptions. And I've learned to laugh about it, because every year I get the same pamphlet in the mail and the same letters. People stick a few letters in the mailbox during Halloween season that tell me that the evil I'm doing. But, I mean, I've learned to laugh it off, and you know, nobody really does anything terrible other than voice a few antiquated opinions.
Anybody who seems to be too good, I can't trust. You know, I mean, it's probably because I'm disheartened, because I'm like, I'm a fallen Catholic.
the outpouring of support has always outweighed that. I mean, I get so many people going, thanks, you know, for doing what you do, and it was awesome. And you know, it's become such an event now. Not only our haunt, there's as many adults as there are kids now. Seriously, so it's become a much about a town gathering now at the Cowan House on Halloween as it is trick or treating, because you know, I get people posting and sending me emails going, hey, thanks for putting that on, it's an awesome community event, I saw so and so, I hadn't seen them in 10 years since high school, and had I not been out and standing in your line, we wouldn't have seen each other.
Dude, you know, your heart's like a Facebook for the community.
So, I mean, it's really gotten kind of insane, really. I mean, it really has. I'm surprised the neighbors hadn't kicked me out of the neighborhood yet, but this year was by far the biggest year.
How big is your yard?
It's not that big.
It looks big from the couple of pictures I've seen.
Yeah, I just build this shit like I'm sitting on acres here. And, you know, I'm pretty much, I have a 2,300 square foot house sitting on a, you know, average city lot. I mean, but once you put everything in it, you know, I've expanded. It used to just be the front yard. Then it became the front yard and the driveway. And then this year was really the first year we expanded all the way into the backyard, and now we're officially, other than coming inside the house, we're taking up the entire property. Pretty much the haunt is taking up the, there's nowhere left to go because I'm really taking up every square foot that's not under roof.
How many different props that you have, because you have a full carnival, it's Carnival of Screams, so you have a full like carnival setup, which is actually freaking amazing because it looks very professional. It looks extremely pro. I mean, yeah. Like when I first looked at it, I looked at your website, which obviously is fantastic. I mean, I always appreciate a great website. I don't give a shit what kind of haunt you have. You have a good website, goes a long way. But
you have a
fantastic website. You have an amazing looking haunt, and to be honest with you, I don't know how I overpassed you. I know you've been a minion for years. I'm not sure how I overlooked you. Then I was just looking through, and I was like, yeah, I'm looking for anybody who you guys might have seen, possibly even a minion that I could have on the show. And then one of the other minions said, have you seen John's haunt? Because I know your name. I know that you've been a subscriber. I've gotten emails from you. And then I was like, I looked at the haunt. I was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. Now, I'm not even big into the kind of the clown carnival thing. And I looked at some of the props and the setup, and I was actually blown away. I was like, holy shit. That's what I sent you the email saying, dude, you are the next guru guest on Hauntcast. Come on down. And you like, what?
Well, you know, actually, this year was the first year we've done the clowns.
It is the first year. Okay.
This year was the first year we incorporated. But what we were doing was switching themes every couple of years, and I was going through a massive build effort and massive, massive expense of reinvesting in new themes, and we were doing that, and it was getting bigger and bigger and more and more and more. And so I do have a small ambition of maybe going pro at some point down the road, possibly. I don't have any competitors in the market really to speak of here, so I mean, I'm the biggest draw around locally. And you know, there's a guy in Mobile who does a nice haunt, and I actually have a good friend of mine across Daphne that does a good haunt. But I mean, nobody's really doing anything on the pro level around here, and I've kicked it around, but I wanted to wrap some branding around what I was doing. And so this year was the first branding effort, which started back in January of Carnival of Screams. And that's also when we decided to switch to a carnival theme. But we wanted to still keep some traditional Halloween because I'm a traditionalist. So I tried forever to think, how can I keep my cemetery and yet incorporate a carnival? And that's when I came up with the backstory about the carnival coming to town and setting up in front of the cemetery, which is what we did. We had the front yard, the front was the carnival. The first back half, when you went through the walkthrough, was carnival themed, and then it transitioned to you entered the gates of the cemetery, and then we had the traditional Halloween in the back, which is the cemetery, vampires, zombies, that type of thing. So I had to really reach to tie the two together. But it worked out. It worked out.
Yeah, you know, you pulled it out of your ass, and it worked great. Hey, I'm looking at this picture where you have the front of your haunt, you have the Carnival of Screams in lights, and then you have, which is, you know, your entrance, it looks like, into your haunt. Then you have these two big I mean, they look to be several feet high and wide. Clown heads. Where did you make those?
I actually bought those clown heads from a place in Texas. Those clown heads are like 5 foot tall by, to give you some aspect, or about 5 foot tall, and the biggest one's almost 5 foot wide. The other one's about four. And I did build the sign. We did cut. I have a good friend of mine who works at an aluminum fabrication shop, and I can weld, so I'm set up to weld here, and I've got a lot of access, so I get to do a lot of things that probably the typical person doesn't do, especially when it comes to machining and welding. So we built the sign and got the letters cut. We put all that together. It came out really good. You know, this year we incorporated a squeeze room. I put a 16-foot squeeze room together with bags and everything, which people love that. I don't get it. I really don't get the squeeze room effect, but the kids love that. They went through it 20 times, but I mean, we build a lot, but I mean, as the years have gone by and time, it's gotten bigger, and my time frame for putting it together has stayed the same. I've turned to buying a lot more professional props. I've bought some from Brandt at DC and Poison, Distortions. Hell, I think I've bought just about from everybody that's anybody at Transworld.
Yeah, the way I look at it is, you know, you build what you can, and a lot of it, it's a combination. You're still putting everything together. You know, you're taking pieces from this and this person, that person. You're building, you know, you're kind of like building the in between pieces, and you're incorporating and making everything come together. And you still have all your actors, and you still have, you know, they're putting on the show and the backstories. There's a lot to it. Right. Some people can't afford to buy any of that stuff. Hey, that's cool. If you can't do it and you don't want to do it, or you refuse to do it because you think you're a purist, that's your prerogative, and that makes sense.
I feel that. I used to build everything and would buy nothing, but I mean, the fact of the matter is I just can't build all of the stuff that I want to do in the time frame I have to do it. So I've ended up having to buy. I mean, I built the castle facade. I built the Hearst. I built 20-foot life-size pirate ships. I mean, I can build, and I do build a lot. All the wall, you know, but I can't build. I don't used to. I would build pneumatic props, and I would spend a ton of time on them, and I just don't have that kind of time anymore. If I'm going to do the whole show, if I was just going to do a couple of props, a couple of scares, and a display out front, I would still be building a lot, and I still do build a lot. I don't want to make it sound like I don't. You know, that's one of the aspects as this has grown that I've kind of missed, especially this past 2 years, is I'm not building, fabricating, you know, from an idea on a sheet of paper that I had at work to a finished product nearly as much as I would like to. But I'm also, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I wasn't putting 1,500 people through in a night either. So I just don't have the time to do that and still put on the...
Once again, how much is your time worth? And how much would it cost you in materials and time to build, you know, some of these props? And or you know, does it sometimes save you money? Or, you know, break even to just have somebody else get them, you know, to build them, or I should say buy them off someone else. I have quite a few items from Brent at DC. You know, it's funny. Somebody made a comment on my haunt this year, and they said, "Well, you've got to cut a lot of expensive puppets there, Mr. Baker." And I'm thinking, well, for one... Why do you think I haven't been making any money off a podcast for the last couple of years? Because most of the shit I didn't pay for, I got because I traded it for advertising, you know? And each year, you know, you add one prop this year, one prop next year. 5 years later, you get a whole bunch of freaking props that you didn't buy. But I still, I put them together. I corpsed them.
Right.
I distressed them, corpsed them, you know, put them together, you know, mounted them with this, put them in that, you know, built that coffin, mounted them in, did all that other. There's a lot of other work that goes in. It wasn't like I just bought it as a one-off piece. I had to take it and then make it work within the context of the haunt. And still a majority of the stuff I have in my haunt, I did build. You know, it's just, there's a couple of, when it comes to the pneumatic pieces, yeah, I could probably try to weld something. I got to buy a welder, then I got to, like, do all this extra shit, and then it could possibly hurt somebody, or I could just go, hey, Brent, I need this, and get it done, and I'm done. You know, I mean, like, he gets that done. I know it's not going to break. I know I'm going to have it for a freaking 100 years. I'll have that thing as long as I want until I sell it or I gift it off to somebody. It could be an heirloom friggin' thing. I could be handing down a generation. Hey, this was your great-great-great-great-grandfather's coffin extender. You know, it's like, here you go.
You know, this year I've had incorporated skull, believe it or not. I've worked with Jerry probably. I've never met Jerry person to person, but I've worked with him for a year. I've bugged him via email and telephone for years. So I've had used Skulltronics for a few years. Well, this year in January, I said, hey, I want to do a clown idea. And he said, hey, guess what? I'm doing a clown too. I got this Scourge character that, you know, they recast the jawbone and, you know, did the hair. And, you know, we were talking about it. I said, well, you know, I've got an idea for a custom routine that I want to do that's going to, you know, run on an automated loop. And I sent him, you know, what I was working on, and we put together the routine, and it worked perfectly. And then the night of Halloween, it all went to hell. You know, I had automated the entire front because my actors were going to be heavily concentrated in the back. So I had the Skulltronic, which was, you know, like a step right up type of deal.
A carny barker,
right,
basically.
Right. Yeah. Come see it. And, you know, he's talking about the freaks on either side of him because he's at a podium. So I have a lizard boy in a cage, and he's talking about Jolt, which is my Distortion's electric chair. And he's talking about that. And we put a whole routine together, and the barker actually triggers Jolt. And, you know, we've got 4 stage lightings and a strobe and the whole deal. It worked perfectly. Get it out front. Now I got grounding issues coming over the runs that would reset the switches. So I had to, in classic haunt style, switch up the program. I had a live bearded lady. One of my good friends was a real bearded lady, and he was going to be working the cue line. And I'm like, hey, guess what? You can't work the cue line. You're going to have to set over here, because when we get to this point in the automated routine, you're going to have to push this button and trigger this prop. Which, you know what, it worked out. I was devastated. I called Jerry. Jerry's like, man, there's just nothing we can do about this grounding issue unless we switch to DMX. And guess what? In the 11th hour, we're not going to be able to do that. And I'm using a lot of DMX, but I cheaped out on that one part, and I didn't use DMX on my triggers. So, you know, it worked out. He heckled everybody, and everybody ended up coming up to the actor, and the actor triggered the prop, and it all came together like it always does. We stress out about how it doesn't work because we're the only ones that know that it's not working. You know, we had prepared for 600 people, roughly. We were thinking, you know, 600 people's on average what we've been averaging. Every year it grows some, but, you know, every year, depending on what day Halloween falls on, you also lose some. So we had been planning on a roughly 600 people. And what turned out, the news came out and unexpectedly. They showed up. They did a piece, you know, which was great. But, I mean, well, that really threw in an unexpected twist. Then the local paper came out and did a full story, which they've put us in the paper a couple of times. But they came out and did, like, a full write-up on the haunt, what goes into putting on the haunt, the whole nine yards. And so that really drove up interest too, and the Facebook page starts going crazy with likes. We had like 25 likes, and then within a few weeks we had, you know, a couple hundred. And I was expecting, okay, you know, we were laughing, worst case scenario, we're going to get 700-800 people at the most. And the way we do the walkthrough is it's guided. We have escorts. My wife works the front, puts the groups together, sends them through with an escort, and, you know, they go through the haunt, and at a certain point, we send the next group, and it's always with the next escort. Well, she has a clicker because that we keep track of how many people go through versus how many people just came trick-or-treating. Well, I went out front because I was working the back mostly, and I went out front probably at 8:30, and I was like, how many people have come through? Because, I mean, it was crazy. And she said, I'm not going to tell you to the end. You're not going to believe it. And I was like, it's got to be 500. And she just kind of laughed. And at the end of the night, we wrapped up about 10. At the end of the night, 941 people went through the walkthrough, and we had roughly about 1,400 people out front.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think I might have had 300 to 400 people come through my haunt, and unfortunately, it's not guided. One thing I'd like to at least incorporate next year is someone to be a flow control. You know, like open up the gate, let six in, shut the gate for another couple of minutes, let another six come in. At one point, it was like a friggin' conga line, and I only had 400 like people come through my haunt. But it was like a conga line at one point. It was like so many people. So I don't need anything extra. I don't want any publicity for this place.
Yeah. That's kind of where we are. Matter of fact, after the initial news story ran, which was on, I think, our ABC station, I got a phone call the next week from the Fox station. And they said, hey, we want to do a Halloween story on haunting on a budget. And, you know, how in the 12th hour can the average Joe throw together some decorations on a budget and put it together? And we want to shoot it in front, you know, obviously in front of your haunt. And, you know,
with your Skulltronic skulls and your distortion.
Right. I was like, flattered, but at the same time, I'm like, holy crap, I don't need any more. I don't need this publicity. I'm already got too many unknowns. Plus, hell, I need to watch that because what do I know about haunting on a budget?
Yeah. maybe you could say, John, you could take a couple of lessons.
Hell yeah, I would like to learn how to haunt on a budget too, because my wife's about to throw me out of the house if we make one more, you know, retirement investment in another animatronic or, you know, one more thing. You know, I want to add a vortex tunnel, and she's like, that's awesome. Let's add one. And I'm like, well, this is how much they cost. And she's like, let's not. She's like, you can't spend that kind of money. And I'm like, well, you know.
Add a laser vortex.
Maybe I can find a used one. You know,
and vortexes are only like $50-$60, man.
Yeah, but see, I want the whole experience.
No, I know. You want people like feeling like they're falling on their heads kind of a thing.
But, I mean, I didn't end up doing it. I said, hey, my buddy across town puts on a phenomenal haunt. And he spends a fraction of what I do, and he makes and finds everything. You know, he's a very much a purist.
There's a certain amount of purity, or I guess if you want to call it a purist, that I have in my blood, where there are certain things that I want to make, I want to be able to come up with. I like to have a good mixture of the two, and then there are certain things that I could make on my own, but they wouldn't come out as well, and they wouldn't work in the context that I want them to work in, so, you know, that you need to spend the money on that. Look, I had a 3X skull that I bought. It only cost me several hundred dollars, and it never worked perfectly. I was willing to drop, and I got a, as we say, a wicked bargain from Jerry from Jerry when Jerry came aboard. I hope you took advantage of your hot cast discount when it was available. And I dropped a grand on that skull. And I looked at it and I go, okay, I dropped a grand, but then I sold my other skull for a couple hundred bucks. But that skull is absolutely friggin' and amazing. And I dropped big money into making that work this year because every year it didn't work properly. Like, either because I was running it off of a laptop, the laptop timed out, went down, and nothing worked. So I went Rappu, Skulltronic Skull, bought like an extra amp with a 400 watt speaker so you could hear it clearly. It was perfect. Everything worked flawlessly. The thing worked all night long. Absolutely amazing. He was Scully, just like busting on people, making funny comments and shit. How did the carnival theme evolve? Like, how did you just say clowns are scary and I haven't done a carnival theme, so let's do that? Or was there something more?
You know, it took a lot of years for me to warm up to that, because I'll be honest, several years ago I thought it was stupid. I'd seen it done, and I'd seen it done good and seen it done bad, but I just didn't dig it. You know, clowns are not what I never saw the fear. I didn't understand it until I started doing some research, and, you know, 40% of the population claims they're scared of clowns, and, you know, I'm like, there's something, maybe something to this. And I warmed up over several years to the idea, and, you know, last year before, I mean, we were in 2012, and I had pretty much decided we're gonna try the clown theme, but we're gonna wrap it around a carnival type atmosphere so I can do it for a few years and not get bored, because there is a lot of directions to go with that. There's the freak show element, which is almost unlimited. There's the games, you know, there's all kinds of games you can wrap into that, which we didn't do this year. We're going to do next year probably, and actually let people play twisted games, you know, games on standard carnival games, but instead of pop the balloon, maybe pop the head. We've been already kicking some things around like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of places to go with it, and that's kind of why I liked it. And the other thing that really, what really set me on the path was every time I would bring it up to a room of straight people, non-Halloween people, people would go, oh, man, I hate clowns. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'll be able to come over and see you on Halloween if you do that, you know. And I was like, really? I mean, you guys are that scared of clowns? Yeah. And, well, it turns out people are definitely scared of clowns. I don't get it, but, I mean, there's no denying it.
I think they're a little strange and creepy, but I'm not scared of them. I've gone to a couple of haunts that had three different or four different attractions or five different attractions, and they always have one that's a clown attraction. They always have one that's a clown haunt out of the five or out of the three. It's always in there. And I go through, and it doesn't do anything for me, but I know it freaks the shit. I mean, I'll say I get startled. I mean, if you have a good actor, they jump out, they get you. You know, they get you. It's the way it works. Right. I'm not into it, but I get it that a lot of people are, and a lot of people are freaked out by it. So, hey, you know, it's all, you can't argue with what works, man. Hey, so anyway, besides from that, I think this is going to conclude our interview, man. If you want to call it an interview.
Our rap session, man.
That's right. Hey, I've enjoyed talking to you, and I've enjoyed the whole ride that's been Hauntcast, and appreciate the hell out of the whole Scream team and everything that's gone into this over the years, and, you know, and I appreciate you talking to me, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of it.
Hey, man. Mama, I'm thankful to have you as a minion.
Well,
more importantly, as a paying customer. But I'm only kidding. No, John, keep up the fantastic work. Can't wait to see what you do in 2014, my brother.
Well, check it out. I normally post a lot of. I don't post a lot of dynamic content to. I know I should, but man, Facebook, it's quick for me to post on my Facebook page, and that's kind of where I do the build pictures and the teases of what's coming. So I'm not gonna plug my stuff, but I mean, if somebody is interested, the website's pretty static, but I mean, the Facebook page is where you're gonna find me posting.
Okay,
works in progress.
Once again, the Facebook page. Pages.
Carnival of Screams. It's Facebook/Carnival of Screams. If you search Carnival of Screams on Facebook, that's me. I'm pretty much, because of the, I own the domain name and everything else. If you search Carnival of Screams, I'm all up. No matter what engine you hit, I'm almost first on every one.
All right, brother.
All right, Chris. Well, if you need anything or I can do anything for you, let me know.
All right, man. Hey, we'll catch you around the net. Take care.
All right, thanks.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.